And hello, good people, and welcome to episode 8 of the Brunswick Beer Collective. And as usual, I'm Chris Shorten. With me is Jeffrey Chee.
Good evening.
And Paul Christoph.
Howdy.
And I've just realised that sometimes I call you Jeff, sometimes I call you Jeffrey.
Neither of those two things are the worst thing I've ever been called. So, you know,
okay, that's
we
fair.
Can use
I'll
those terms interchangeably, I feel.
What about he who never loses or always wins?
Yeah, well, that's my middle name. Like, you never lose is what it literally translates to. It's, yeah, hilarious, right?
All right, we could go on about that all day.
We could.
And we have previously.
Yes.
Yes.
But what we're going to start with is firstly, so we officially launched last week, although the continuity of the podcast kind of means it may have been like appeared like before that.
Yeah, I backdated all the posts.
Yeah, yeah. Paul's looking to be funny here.
But never let the truth get in the way of
a good
story.
Thank you to my old man for that one. Anyway, so I thought I'd just mention for anyone who's listening, so we have a giant social media presence now, or at least in comparison to what we had prior to this, which was none whatsoever. So if you want to find us on Facebook, we're the Brunswick Beer Collective. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're Brunswick Beer. If you want to find us on Instagram, we're Brunswick Beer Collective. And if you're one of the few people who are using Google Plus, you can find us as the Brunswick Beer Collective. I'm sure there'll be no other rivals.
Brunswick Beer Collective AU.
Is it AU?
For
really?
Some reason, I tried to do Brunswick Beer Collective, which nobody has, but it said at a location. And I've not had that as an individual, so I think it must be I don't know, anyway. Yeah,
look,
had to add something to the end of it to make it more unique.
I feel like there's only, like, you know, two people that understand how Google Plus works.
One of them's Paul.
One of them's Paul, that's for certain. So, I thought I'd start...
Oh, one other thing. We are also on Untapped now as well.
Oh, we're on Untapped now.
Brunswick Beer Collective, we are on Untapped.
We'd have an Untapped phone.
Yes.
We even have a phone dedicated for Untapped, because otherwise we'd have to log out of our other phones and log into Untapped. But, because through work, I've got this BlackBerry, and so it's BlackBerry. Why would I ever turn this thing on? Because it's the most inconvenient thing in the world.
I've never seen it.
No. Look, I think BlackBerry's are sort of myths. They're just something that you hear about in stories, but you never really see.
So I'm like, I'm holding a myth. That's
exactly. However, it is a myth that you can check things in on.
It is. It's about the only thing I can do on
the
site.
Well, we're in Brunswick, so there's probably... it's an ironic statement, isn't it?
It is,
that is true, yeah.
Yep. The corporate device of, you know, the 2000s being used in the middle
next
of the
century. Next week, Paul brings in his Nokia 5210.
So, I guess, obviously we want you to follow us, but we also want you to tell us what you think. We want your opinions, we want your comments. You know, this is bigger than just three idiots, and we need all the help we can get.
Absolutely.
So, firstly, I thought I'd start with a beer adventure that I had on Friday. So, on Friday, I was at a function that someone had organised, and I had been asked what beer should be on the taps. And I had a choice between James Bogue Draft and James Squire Golden Ale. And so I had naturally said Golden Ale, because that seems like the lesser of two evils here.
It sounds like the worst choice you could ever have. Worst choice in the
Look,
world.
Look, I'll admit it could have been better.
Yeah.
So we get up there to the function room, and the first thing I see is there's the James Bogue thing on the tap. And I'm thinking, what the? But obviously at that point it was like, okay, it's too late. I can't really complain now. They've clearly already plugged in everything, so we're just going to grin and bear it. So then I said, all right, give me the James Bogue. So they pull that for me, and so I'm sipping away. And then that... and I'm thinking, doesn't taste quite like what I remembered, but I haven't had one for a lot of years. Maybe they changed the recipe. Anyway, so then that I see this a fella just ambling up the stairs, and he wanders over, and I can see in his hand he's got the replacement thing on to replace the tap thing.
I see.
With Golden Ale one. And now I'm sort of thinking,
aha.
Yeah, but it led me to this really interesting point where I thought, hang on a second. So, if that... I would have gladly thought that was a Bogues, even though now I know it's a Golden Ale. And is that because they're such... They have no distinct qualities to them, and that's why that it's like, okay, it's pretty much the same beer.
It's a good question. I mean, if you consider any of the major macro lagers, for example, you know, your VB, Carlton Draft, Milton Bitter, to someone who... only drinks that stuff, they probably all taste fairly... Well, no, actually, interestingly, They would probably all taste fairly similar to us. They wouldn't taste similar to someone who actually drinks those beers.
That's true.
The other way around.
That's true. Because, you know, I mean, back in the old days, you know, when... we were talking about this earlier. Back in the old days when I grew up in Ballarat and, you know, the craft beer was the James Squire. And you knew there was a big difference between all those things.
But you didn't even care about what you... You just went to the bar and ordered a beer.
That's true.
And whatever came was whatever it was. It's beer, it's beer, right?
I'd love to say they were the good old days, but they were definitely the old days.
The old days.
Yeah, but then, yeah, when the pretentious imported beers first started coming in, like in the early 2000s, and all the European lagers
coming
in.
Heineken, Betts.
I know, we all thought we could tell the difference between like Beck's and Peroni and Stella and Asahi and all these other beers. Asahi's not European, obviously, but... All these important beers.
They're in the same bucket that goes with the wings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you could just change the label, and the labeling would just convince you that it was what it was. Yeah. It's...
And that was my dilemma on Friday, and I'm sort of like, well, what have I been... you know, it makes you question what you're... Because that you're expecting something distinctive in these flavours, and when you're just sitting there, it's like, okay, it tastes like every other giant brewery beer.
Yep.
It was a really odd situation, I think.
It's very strange, but it's an interesting point. I think I would suffer from the same problem. I'm not sure if I would be able to tell between Bogues and Squires and Cascade and, you know, all those beers now.
They're all sort of...
Like, if you had them lined up in front of you, you could probably tell that they were different beers, but if someone would just hand you one and say, what is this? You'd be like, oh, it's a standard lager. Yeah. Which one? Who knows?
That's right.
So that was my Friday night, but you guys did something quite different.
Yeah, we had a Friday night that was both better and worse than the night. No, it was just better.
Yeah, it was better. Saturday morning, when your drink is on fire, it is better.
Saturday morning was probably worse, but Friday night was uniformly better. Where did we start?
We started at 30 Dirk.
30 Dirk, that's right.
I do love that place.
It's a great place.
I'd never been before. So,
These were all new venues to you, actually, weren't they?
They were. Yeah. That's right. So we started 30 Dirks. So some of my work crew turned up and Paul rocked up as well. And we were there drinking, which was good.
Unsurprising.
Someone decided to order... So you know how you buy rounds for people? And so what that means is when you buy a round, everyone generally finishes the round at around the same time.
Generally,
and so
what happens?
So then you can synchronise exits. Because we had a schedule. We had a plan to visit city venues. And... some guy decided to order the Zweicheck Porter off cycle, so mid-round, finished his beer, decided, I'm going to go order the strongest beer on the menu, and then proceed to sit on that beer for the next 30 minutes while we're all sitting going like, we'd really like to leave and see, that's not cool.
That's foolish behaviour in a round.
It is.
But Rounds 101.
Round 101 is you don't order an off-cycle strong beer and then nurse it like your baby bottle. That's just not allowed.
Look, I've never even heard of this beer, but I feel it's probably kind of terrifying.
It's a Polish... I suppose it's a craft beer.
It is.
My friend is the distributor for Western Australia. Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, a Australian, but Polish heritage. And he gets it directly from the brewer.
Yeah, because it's 9.5%.
And so knowing how much it costs wholesale, seeing what it was on the menu, knowing what it costs wholesale pre-importation taxes.
Well, I mean, it's. Yeah. I think that's always the case with
alcohol in this country.
Well, I was just thinking the higher the alcohol content, the more on the bar you can almost guarantee that they'll add an extra dollar for
even their standard one. Just their standard, I'm like.
Oh, really?
Is quite. Okay. It's. Yeah, I mean, like we were saying before, people will pay more for a foreign beer.
They will, and they'll pay more for more alcoholic beer. That's just the fallacies that enter your mind when you first start exploring the beer. If it's overseas, it's better. If it's more alcoholic, it's better. Both those things
are kind of not true.
Well, this is not a recent story at all. I was at, I can't even remember where it was, but they had Trimmer Pills. On tap, which is, you know, it's very standard. It's a perfectly fine piss weak lager. It's drinkable. You'll drink it. It's not a bad beer. It's just a nothing beer.
Yeah.
You can easily drink one, but...
It's in the water variety.
Yeah.
If there was an untapped section for water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's on the taps, and there were several, I remember, local beers. And even there was, like, you know, there was Coopers and Little Creatures. It was sort of that was the level of the taps. But the Trimmer Pills was... You know,
the premium.
A dollar or two more expensive than the Little Creatures or the Coopers. And you're like, these two beers are fresher.
Yeah.
They're local.
They're better.
They're better, yet more people were ordering the Trium Pils because it's Austria. It must be fancy, right?
It's a Asahi is always unreasonably expensive where it's on tap. Mm. Like, you will have normal local craftish beers for $5.50 a pot, and Asahi will be $9 a pot for no reason at all.
No, it's totally true. Right.
That's what the market will bear. That's the reason.
So, before we move on to the actual beer, beers for tonight, so Jeff, you've been posting a lot of shots on Instagram of beers that we had on Saturday.
That's right. So, after our flaming zombie drink episode on Friday, and after the recovery on Saturday, we had a friend's housewarming. And we drank a lot of beer that night. We should point out
this friend has pretty much no, similar to Jeff's house, he has no food in his fridge.
I think the only food that was there was food he purchased on the day or that his sister brought over for the purposes of the party. But yes, no, Instagram got a good workout. We took some shots in here at the Ale House Project for pre-drinks. And then he's got a very nice balcony looking down Lygon Street. So we took a lot of photos up there. Of all the various beers that we drank. Unfortunately, I couldn't really post them live because by the time I'd had 7 or 8 beers, attempting to construct anything coherent on Instagram or to remember anyone's tag or even what a hashtag means really wasn't happening.
Because did I see you sink the Bismarck?
There was sink the Bismarck, yeah.
Well, that was interesting. So, yeah, we had it far too late in the night.
Correct.
You don't have it at the, you know, was it probably 1 a.m. by the time we had it?
Midnight? I think so.
But our friend had been aging it.
Yeah, that's right. He had it for
a few years, 2 years.
At least a year and a half, if not 2 years. Mm. I think, he'd been aging it.
And aniseed.
Yep.
Was the, that drink definitely did not have aniseed when
not the it time
was
first we had
released.
It.
Wow. But 2 years down the track. Very noticeable aniseed flavour to it.
That's right. But
very interesting.
Needless to say, I felt every one of that 41% the next morning. Like every I could count them all in my head as I was lying in bed on Sunday morning. It was
I'm kind of regretting that I tapped out early in that party because I feel like I really missed out on some
I
of that.
Didn't tap out early, but after sink the Bismarck, because I stayed out till 4:30. But after sink the Bismarck, my beer bottle, I'm not ashamed to admit, was filled with nothing but water.
I think
so. I was drinking a lot of water for about 3 hours before going to bed, and actually felt quite fine the next
day. I'm going to make the bold assumption that Jeff's was not full of water.
Well, Jeff went home after falling asleep. Well, Jeff fell asleep for a while.
Yep.
And another one of our friends took several selfies with him, posing him while asleep, which he hasn't seen yet.
I've seen one. I got sent one. It's very good. I've seen this before, but it's never any less funny every time I see it.
Look, and we should point out, and this I guess links back to a previous podcast. We can definitely guarantee that our friend's house is on the nap list.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which will be posted up tomorrow or Friday, depending on how...
Depending on the weird space-time continuum wormhole as to when the hell we post this podcast.
That's right, but...
Realistically, no, I think Thursday seems to be firming up as a good day to post. So, yeah, generally record on a Monday and... Posting on a Thursday.
So I guess what we're trying to tell you is you'll probably listen to this on a Thursday.
Yeah. So Thursday mornings is when you should look out for new new podcasts.
But you can also sign up to us on iTunes. Should I mention that? But we would recommend an Android one, but we were just talking before and we have no idea how you connect to Android.
You can listen to it directly on the website, but if you want to subscribe, you can subscribe to the RSS feed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
that'll notify
true.
You that whenever there's a podcast or, just iTunes.
And if you're liking us on Facebook, we'll always post on Facebook whenever we're
put social
up
media.
Episode, so all the usual.
And if you say something to us, we'll talk back.
We will. We have nothing better to do during the day.
Exactly. We'll be nice, I swear. And let's move on to beer number one. Now, obviously, I sent Jeff to the bar, so I have no idea what we're drinking.
So we are drinking the Uncommon Cloud. It is a Saison by the Little Bang Brewing Company. And this is exciting because this will be the first check-in for the Brunswick Beer Collective on Untappd. So previously, we're Untappd now. So Paul and I have been previously checking in individually, but now we will be checking in as a collective. For that is what we are. So let's check this in.
Right.
Did that even work?
Right.
It did not.
Technical difficulties?
Of course it didn't.
Right. Well, you are in the BlackBerry, right?
I blame...
Look at the app. That clearly came out when, you know, Untapped version 1 came out.
Know,
and it's not been updated since.
this thing is awful. I don't know how anyone does any... And here's the other problem. Like, ever since I now am on the Samsung Galaxy Note 4, which has got this gigantic screen, Chris, you've often commented on it, and what it means is going back to anything...
You needed an extra pair of pants for that screen.
Correct. Yeah. And I also need, like, an extra screen for this phone that I'm trying to use because I cannot, for the life of me, hit the right button.
I think you need an extra phone for that phone you're trying to use.
I just need a different phone. Like, I need not this phone. That would be preferable.
In that case, should we stray to the other? Paul, you've already checked it in?
I've already checked it in.
All right, so it's a Saison. It tastes like a Saison.
Yes.
It's punchy for a Saison, 7.1.
It's punchy.
7.5.
7.1.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, I actually had it on Saturday. And yeah, having it again now, and it's a nice beer.
Yeah, what do we think here?
But it's... I don't know.
It's a pretty typical Saison. I don't...
Yeah.
It's not amazing.
No.
It's not awful. On the plus side, I have checked it in.
Win! So
Brunswick Beer Collective now has its first Untapped badge, the newbie badge.
Quick, somebody play the crowd cheering soundbite.
That's not going to happen.
We'll put that in with editing later, it'll be fine. Yeah. And we also got the Night Out badge, which is presumably to celebrate a night out.
Oh, so we can start getting lots of badges again, just like back in the old days.
It is like back in the old days.
Equally absurd as it was before.
Well, I think... Yeah, no, I don't agree with what this guy said. Barry P has said, tastes more like an IPA than a Saison. Still okay. It doesn't really taste like an IPA.
Although it's got that... It's got that extra... not necessarily kick to it, but like a hint of, I suppose,
some
bitterness
to it.
People
say that.
Well,
Gordon C says a similar thing at Carl & Sellers.
Exactly. And he also said the same thing at the Alehouse Project. As Gordon, he's checked it in and said the same thing twice.
The exact same thing?
He said, second go, just checking my palate was right. Yep, big hop profile. Getting a bit more of the funk flavour this time.
Look, I like Gordon's dedication here. That's something I can get behind.
I think I've just become
just his consistency.
Yeah.
I think I've just become desensitised to hops. Then.
Well, I think that's what happens, right? So
this is not hoppy. This isn't that hoppy.
It sounds like a kid that, Santa didn't come to at Christmas. I think I've become desensitized to hops.
Or a kid who's played too much GTA 5. I think I've become desensitized to everything in the entire world.
Mm. That would also make sense.
Because when I'm drinking with my girlfriend, which is often, we'll drink, I don't know, a pale ale or an IPA, and I'll drink it and go, this is quite nice. That's really bitter. And I was like, no, it isn't, but to her it is. So I. No.
So it is the question of have we either become immune to the bitterness, or is it actually not bitter at all?
I suspect it's mostly the built-up immunity to the bitterness. Yeah. That's what I'm ascribing this to. I'm not going to say that for a change. Mm. I do say this often, but on this occasion, I will not say that the rest of the world is wrong on this topic.
And this is one thing I want to point out. Any brewers who are listening. If you want to take the Jeff Chi challenge of trying to find a beer that will be bitter enough for Jeff to taste, we highly recommend you make it.
Yeah, I'd be very interested. Well, in fact, a beer that's just so bitter that either Paul or I just can't drink it. That would be an interesting challenge.
The Brunswick Beer Challenge.
The Brunswick Beer Challenge.
No, we'll try and work out the details of that later, people.
We'll put it up on social media.
Yeah. We'll wait for the abuse. Right. So, what else are people saying?
Well, I don't think Thomas D has drunk that many Saisons in his life because W space O W space W, all caps. Thank you, Wheat Sheaf, 2 cracking beers in a row. This is easily the best Saison I've ever, all caps, had. But, strangely enough, 2 all capitalized words get not 1 exclamation mark.
What is going on
so
here?
So, if you're
going
to be making that kind of commitment,
you've got to
use at least...
Yeah,
one.
I mean, if you're going to shout it, you've got to really exclaim that shout.
Yeah, and you 5 stars?
Oh, five stars. That's harsh.
But, okay, maybe we turn this around. Maybe that is his first foray into a Saison. So he's not desensitized like Mr. Chi here.
And also, here's the issue with... And people find this also when they're rating their iTunes libraries. If you start giving things 5 stars... You give yourself nowhere to move.
No, you can never
That's true.
If you start opening with five stars, then your life is over.
I've basically only ever given one beer five stars. And I didn't give it five stars the first time I had it. I gave it 4.5 stars. Second time, it was even better, and I gave it 5 stars. Look, that was the Coxswain's Courage double barrel aged edition.
Nice. Brilliant. Oh, one thing we didn't ask, where is this brewer from?
South Australia.
Correct. Oh, it's still the end of
the hangovers from the best of South Australia. So it's not technically all South Australian. Well, it's not all South Australian beers on tap anymore, but...
Yeah, they're cycling through it.
But all certainly, right. the bitterness comment, like there's a lot of comments that this beer is quite bitter, fairly heavy-handed. So this, the consensus is that this is actually a fairly heavy for a saison.
And the other thing is I'm also thinking is perhaps if it seems to, the earliest check-ins are all coming on in March.
Mm.
So some of these kegs could be a bit old. So maybe the hop profile has...
Maybe.
Calmed down.
Look, I'm glad that you brought in the term hop profile. I think that's an important thing to mention.
It makes it sound like we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which, we'll see how we go. All right, so we're to the point where we actually, for the first time, need to give a group
rating.
Yeah.
Group rating, that's right.
Made even more difficult by the fact that Untappd, since the weekend's update, now can accept increments of 0.25 in their ratings.
Which, the first thing I thought of when I saw that was, does that mean Paul's rating is going to go up to be 3.25?
Well, there'll be a lot more movement now. There'll be a lot of 3.25 to 3.75s.
That's right.
The rules are broken now.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
It's on like Donkey Kong. It's going to be complete anarchy.
Yeah, the world as we know it is over.
Look, I'm scared already. All right, let's do this. So, look, if we tell them, can you add it up?
I can attempt to add it up. I haven't had too many beers yet.
I'm actually going to take the Christoph route and go for 3.5 for this.
All right, I gave it a 3.
Oh, wow.
I also concur with the 3. I would not... Partly it's because I'm biased against Saison as a style, but also it's just not my favourite Saison either, so I think a 3. So
how are we going to average that one out? We need 3.125.
Listening on Untappd?
That's right. I think we just, you know, some sort of just text entry system or something like that may in fact end up being the preferred.
Yeah, but that will end up being with, like, you know, a load of smiley faces.
So is it more majority wins? I think it is.
So I think 3 stars.
Sorry, Chris.
Damn it.
Next time, Chris. Next time.
And we're on to beer number 2 now. And, okay, this is a very, 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 very dark beer. What is it?
Well, that's right. Well, just before we continue, may the 4th be with you. We've got to explain why we've chosen a beer from the light side, the Saison, and a beer from the dark side, which is the
Wilco from Wheaty Brewing Corp, a Russian Imperial Stout.
Well, it's really the question of, I mean, based on what we thought of the Saison, I feel like this is probably going to win anyway, just because it's, you know, the dark side will prevail.
Well, that's right. But yeah, so this is, cheers to the dark side of the force.
To the dark side.
To the dark side.
Right. Oh. Okay, yeah. I really like that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that is superb.
This is much better than what I remember from Saturday. Because we had this on Saturday.
We had many of this on Saturday.
I do not remember any of it. But we had many of this on Saturday. It was...
But that is a genuinely superb beer.
It is. It's lovely.
Jeff's just taking a photo and it has just temporarily blinded me.
Sorry. Well, we...
Use flash.
Mm.
As we've mentioned on previous occasions, on the Untappd app, there is the badge for taking photos of beer.
Now,
we're
starting from zero.
5 times 50.
250 photos.
There's going to be a lot of photos of probably random things from now on. Untappd, we're really annoyed by this.
It's quite unfortunate.
Yeah.
Just give us the badges.
You know we've earned them.
Just load them all up. You can track us down. Well, except me. But this is a fantastic beer. I'm so impressed by it.
Yeah.
This is Imperial Milk Stout.
Mm.
You can definitely taste the sweetness of the milk stout.
This is the carbiest of all beers. As we were discussing last week, the stout is not the carviest, but the milk stout is.
Which is, look, I'd say it's probably up there with the macaroni and cheeseburger.
Yeah, well, I never had that. I was in, where was I?
Oh, that's right. You were in Brisbane.
I was in Brisbane, yes.
Yeah, the mac and cheeseburger is definitely carbier than this. If only we could have had this with the mac and cheeseburger.
I feel like
and
we
then
would
run
probably...
home from wherever.
Yeah.
And then run home from wherever. I think you would still be fatter when you got home than before you left. I still don't think that the run home from wherever would save you in that situation.
Yeah, I feel like the heart would probably stopped halfway through.
Yeah. That's right, you would not have completed that run back.
No,
right?
No.
It would not happen.
But no, this is a genuinely superb beer. And so it's a chocolate oatmeal stout?
Imperial milk stout. So it lists as a Russian Imperial Stout on Untappd. So if you are on Untappd and you are drinking this beer, it will count towards your Imperial Tsar badge, which measures the number of Imperial Stouts that you have consumed.
That makes sense.
But...
So what are the particular... You know, as to be a novice here, what are the particular things that go into making a milk stout? Is it actually milk? It seems too obvious.
Again, this is the lighter side of beer. We don't know these things.
That's right. And it's
8.5%, so
it's like you
a lot
know
of alcohol
every
in
time we're not going to know the answer to a question.
You asked us, yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to ask you about stuff that you know. I'm going to go, no, they'll know that. They'll know that. This definitely won't know this. I'm going to ask them this specific question. Thank you, Chris.
All right, so what other people...
Maybe someone else will be able to tell us what is in this beer.
What are other people saying about this beer?
Jeff, you look that up. I'll look it up. It looks down on Wikipedia.
Lauren B. at this very venue... a couple of days ago. I read you loud and clear, Roger Wilco.
That's nice. I like that one.
Wow, This Is Amazing by Phil at the Wheat Chief Hotel. We totally agree. Down with that. Big Sweet and Can't Taste the ABV, Damn Nice Russian Imperial Stout by David P.
That seems like a lot of like random words tied together with full stops, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but, I mean, absolutely. It doesn't really come across as an 8.5%
No, not at all. And you know why? That is because of the lactose inside it, which is, of course, derived from milk. Because lactose is unfermentable by yeast, this is interesting, it adds a sweetness, body, and calories to the finished beer. Milk stout was claimed to be nutritious and given to nursing mothers, along with other stouts such as Guinness.
Gosh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And during the Second World War, when rationing was in place, the British government required brewers to remove the word milk from any labels, adverts, and imagery. No one allowed to... So milk in... Well, not just for stout. Nobody was allowed to advertise milk at all.
Right.
So,
They used to give milk stout and other stouts to nursing mothers.
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah, we kind of skipped past that.
See, those were the good old days, literally. I mean... You know, going back before the old days we were talking about, there were good old days back there to be had.
Yeah. The classic surviving example of milk stout is Mackelson's, for which the original brewers claimed that, quote, each pint contains the energizing carbohydrates of 10 ounces of pure dairy milk, unquote. So they are energizing carbohydrates, not fattening carbohydrates. Two very distinct types of carbohydrate.
Look, can I point out two great things here? Firstly, the fact that we found a proper definition, or at least a Wikipedia definition, for the milk stout.
It all sounds legitimate.
And secondly, that Paul managed to find it in absolutely record time.
And it was actually quite well referenced. Yeah. And looking at the references there, they're quite... It's a surprisingly well referenced
Although, were the references to other Wikipedia articles?
No. They're quite legitimate.
Well, thanks to the Owl House for their working Wi-Fi this week. Otherwise, we would not have been...
NBN!
Are they on the NBN now?
Yep, that's why it was not working for a week. Because got NBN and forgot the password.
Ah, Chris... Everybody, you would be well appreciative.
Let's bring out my NBN.
But yes,
troubles.
Yes, the Owl House Project has NBN.
Fantastic.
Free NBN.
For those listening outside of Australia, the NBN is an attempt at a cable fibre internet service that has had its own share of problems.
But it's okay because we all live in this area and we...
One of the great advantages of Brunswick is the fact that everyone got it first before they changed it.
That's right, we got the good version, everyone else is getting the rubbish version. However, we have all... Well, Paul, you didn't have any major problems getting it installed.
Because I had the because it was already in the apartment because it was a new build.
But yeah, I took at least 3 months to get it installed properly.
I took six months. But look, if I tell that story, I'll just start crying again, and I just don't need that.
That's for another podcast.
So
what are people saying about this? As me, the last person to check that in before was Jeff's girlfriend. The person who checked in before that was the guy who had the
housewarming
party. The person before that was Jeff.
Wait a second.
So we've had a few of this beer.
Yeah. All right. Then if that's the case, because we're actually out of time, what is our collective rating?
Well, I'm actually bumping my rating up from Saturday night and moving from a 4 to a 4.25.
4.25.
I'm going to give this a 4.5.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 as well.
Wow.
Shot down, Christoph. Just like the last beer.
There you go.
In reverse.
Majority rules again. 4.5 from the Brunswick Beer Collective.
Fair enough.
For Wilco.
Wow. Alrighty.
Good work, guys.
And so that's the end of the episode for another week.
Well, that's the end of me for...
For 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks.
Because
I will not be drinking any beer. I will be in Iran.
Paul will be in Iran, which... Look, we don't support it mostly because of the lack of beer drinking thing.
In fact, that's the only reason we don't support it.
Yeah. But I will be in London the week before, so get in my film.
Okay, so you'll be making up for us.
You may, in fact, be drunk for the whole time you're in Iran.
I may post a few... sneaky pics on the old BBC Instagram of my London adventures.
Sounds like a plan. Right. We look forward to seeing those photos. That'd be great.
And I should point out again, you can follow us on pretty much every social media channel.
Go to the website. Go to the bottom of the website. All the social media links are on there.
At BrunswickBeerCollective.com. This has been great. I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Jeff Chee.
Good night, everyone.
And Paul Christoph.
Good night.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you.